zipping round for hours and hours, pollinating lots of flowers. I'm a busy, buzzy, busy, buzzing bee.
Get on to Johnny Ralph.
On Hungry for Sport, John Ralph.
And Alan and Simon, give us a call back from Get Something Off Your Chest. You picked up a couple of great prizes as well. Good morning, Buzz.
Kevin, good to be with you. Can I play some word association with you?
Yes, you can.
Spencer White.
Fallacy. Doesn't exist.
Freddie, that was the one I was looking for. Freddie Couples.
Masters.
Bone Crusher.
Our Waverley Star.
There you go. So, what, in the last few hours, Bone Crusher has passed away. And I was looking back because, you know, I know stuff all about racing. I know stuff all about most things. But Bone Crusher won 9 Group 1s, $3 million, 18 races. And yet the race of the century is all
correct.
We remember. Joey might even have the audio at some stage there. But it just got me thinking about people who, Freddie Couples, for instance, has won majors. But all we think about him is rolling up the 18th in his hush puppies, just with that back injury that maybe never existed. And he just hits his beautiful, effortless little flicked wedge into 20 feet and rolls it in. And he's always leading the Masters after round one. And I think he's finished top 10 a lot of times, even in the last few years. So I thought about those word associations, those people you just remember for one indelible moment, even if they were successful across a lot of their career.
Okay, so you want the fans to tell us, if you mention one person's name, I mean, it might be like Ali and Joe Frazier.
It might be. Yeah, it might be two people who are inextricably linked because of an amazing
event. That's the word association, isn't it?
It is,
you know, Bone Crusher with our Waverley Star.
Yes, or it might be just the one thing they did, an event that they were involved in. So just those things that just immediately come up. What a race. So I think, give us the audio, Joey. Now, Joey Pignataro, your superstar producer.
The chosen one.
Who's trying to get into the twos or the ones at St. Bernard's?
Well, he should be in the ones at St. Bernard's. At the moment, they've got him in the thirds. He's the Eddie Betts of the competition. But my understanding is that there's a meeting taking place at the moment of all the coaches and the board at St. Bernard's.
Crisis meeting
to try and work out why Joey Pignataro is not playing senior football at the moment. So that crisis meeting is taking place as we speak.
He is diminutive.
I'm sure we'll get some feedback from that meeting.
Well, he's diminutive.
If anyone's actually seen Joey Pignataro play for St. Bernard's, give us a buzz. 9429 1116, because he is the Eddie Betts of the competition. Should be in the seniors. Anthony Rock is the coach of the seniors.
Yes.
He's got something
good
against Joey Pignataro. He's about the same size as Joey Pignataro. You'd think he'd be a supporter of that small gun forward. But for some reason, Anthony Rock has got it in for Joey Pignataro.
Well, Joey's aware of the traffic around him, if you know what I mean.
My word.
Petrified. So he's petrified.
No, he's
a pipsqueak.
No, he's not.
He's a bit like you, a lot of behinds rather than goals. If anyone's ever seen the chosen one, give us a shout. And if you've got that association, now, Joey, this is a big test for you. Have you got the audio for us? If you do, play it now.
Okay, we're going to have a listen to the great word association, Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star.
But the two great New Zealanders have come away on the turn. Our Waverley Star, a half-length Bone Crusher. The big red won't give in. Drought running on. Bone Crusher responds to the whip. The roars of the crowd. He races up to our Waverley Star. 100 out. Bone Crusher, our Waverley Star. Stride for stride. Nothing in it. Our Waverley Star, the rails. Bone Crusher, the outside. And Bone Crusher races into equine immortality.
I can always remember talking to the late, great Bill Collins.
Yes.
And he told me that he went when Bone Crusher and our Waverley Star went at the school. And he said not only did they go too early, he went too early as well, because he was nearly exhausted at the end of the race himself.
He was sort of gargling.
He was. He said he went too early. He went with the horses.
Oh, it was amazing. Now, one that's coming off the SMS, and I'll give you a little test. Leo Barry.
You star.
There you go. Yes. That
was the great Stephen Quartermain.
It was the great Stephen Quartermain. And it was one
of the
great...
It was a great call. It was a great moment of that grand final. And it's up there with Jezelenko, you beauty.
And I think a lot of those
Mike Williamson.
We did a podcast with Hutto the other day, and we were talking about, you know, do you come up with these things? And I think a lot of the, you know, a lot, you know, whatever it might be, the grand final, the siren sounds, and there's some sort of line that it's already been preordained. But Leo Barry, you star. I mean, that is just instantaneous. And that's what makes great callers. I respect so many callers because, you know, I just think it's such a hard task. And sometimes we whack them and, look, BT's a bit too excited or this bloke's a bit too flat. Look, they do a bloody great job. But Stephen Quartermaine, he just nailed it.
Well, he absolutely nailed that on that particular occasion because no one knew that Leo Barry was going to take the mark. But it's up there with Jezelenka, you beauty. And Mike Williamson celebrated his birthday.
Did he really?
The other day too. I think Mike was around about, 84, 85. So happy birthday to Mike Williamson, one of the doyens, of course, of commentating in Australian television. What about Jake Carlisle? Now, it seems that you've got this big story about Jake Carlisle that you think he's off to the Bulldogs. He's going to leave. You do tell us that there was a bit of a meeting between James Hurd and a couple of other of the hierarchy there at Essendon. But you think he's gone, don't you?
I think he is.
Because they won't play him at centre-half back?
Well, there's a lot of things that are swirling around. He's not enjoying his football. He certainly doesn't want to play forward.
Now, you're certain about that because Greg Denham sort of posed that question this morning. He said in your column, you said he's not enjoying his football, but he just wondered whether that was absolutely 100% true.
No, I mean, he's certainly telling people that he's not having fun in the football. He doesn't want to play as a forward. And he's certainly... he's been sucked into the mud by this WADA scenario. Now, I'm sure a lot of players are, but I think the combination of things means that he might look at others that have been out there, maybe Stewie Cramer, and he goes, well, I'd love a fresh start. Now, if they get banned for 2 years or however long it might be, that might prevent him from getting a fresh start. What I do know is he's not enjoying himself. What I'm not sure about is how forceful he's being to Essendon to actually say, I want to play back. I don't know what the story is
but
there.
But people are saying a player can't just say to the coach, no, I want to play in my favourite position.
And that's why it's a conundrum, because one of them is an All-Australian in Cale Hooker, and the other one's maybe playing All-Australian football in Michael Hurley. So I think it would be horrible to the team's morale to just say, I want to play back. My solution, at least for the short term, is you put him into the ruck. 27-10, they won the clearances in the second half against Geelong, albeit in a game that was over, albeit in a game where Blitzavs was forced to play in the ruck. But he looked sure-handed again. He looked comfortable. He rove back behind the ball and took a couple of good grabs. What we do know is that the Bulldogs are really keen on him. I think they say to themselves, well, he'd have to have his head right, because they're a bit concerned about that right now. But there would be
is
some...
he attracted to the Bulldogs?
I don't think he wants to go interstate. So I don't know specifically about the Bulldogs. I think he's absolutely looking, tossing up a fresh home. And I just think there are clubs out there that would say to themselves, mate, we'd give it. We'd give pick six for Carlisle. He's 24. He could be an All-Australian defender for the next 5 years. And yes, he's got some issues at the moment in terms of his head. But when you play him as a key back, he just dominates. I reckon the Essendon Footy Club themselves are getting their head around saying, okay, mate, if you want to go, we'd be pretty happy to let you go. I think there are some people within that club right now saying, you know, we've had enough of Jake Carlisle. They haven't had a top 10 pick in 4 years.
He's 6 foot six, isn't he, Jake Carlisle?
I wouldn't let him go. All I'm telling you is what some people in Essendon are saying.
Maybe he can play as a ruckman. They've lost Paddy Ryder.
Yep.
Obviously, they don't want to play Jonathan Giles, who they recruited. Tom Bell Chambers has had a very ordinary year.
Yes.
So maybe this is going to be one of those circumstances where all of a sudden they find themselves a ruckman out of adversity, really. Yep. And Jake Carlisle might, who knows, he might go on and have a cracking season for the rest of 2015 as a ruckman.
I'll give you a stat that might mean everything or nothing. Now, the champion Tata boys gave me this. Now, he went into the ruck and had, I don't know, 23 hitouts or whatever. The normal hitout to advantage rate is 27%. He went at 69%. So he was 40% above the average. So he's not just a stopgap. He could be an elite ruckman. So my solution for at least the next few weeks, you bring him into the ruck, you keep your defence as it is, you bring in Sean McKernan, who was pretty good for a half a few weeks back, and then, as Hurdy said, got tired. So you do that, you drop Bell Chambers, maybe you don't bring in Giles, and you say to Joe Danaher, mate, we think you're going to be a star. It's time for you to be a star, and we'll help you with...
So you've got your ruckman... Carlisle changing it full forward for that little breather.
Yep.
And Danaher does a little bit of ruck work for 5 minutes a game, something like that.
Or McKernan. McKernan comes in as a forward, so you've got a few blokes who can play there. You let Paddy Ambrose play up and down. You'd still love to have a couple of small forwards there so you can at times maybe even isolate Joe Danaher. But at the moment, they haven't really got that. Now, Essendon fans might want to tell us, has the bloke who had the back nearly went to Jason Winderlich, is he ready? I'm not sure about that. So if Jason Windlick was ready, I mean, whenever he plays football, he kicks goals and sets
them up. I've forgotten all about Jason Windlick. Is he still around?
No, he is. He's played some VFL. I don't know how much, so I probably should have done a bit more research there. But I think he's in the mix, whether he's ready this week or next.
Need some feedback from Bomber fans who watch the reserves play. And also, do you think, if you're an Essendon fan, that Carlisle might be the answer to the ruck situation? It seems a lot of Essendon fans have been disappointed with Bell Chambers' performance this year. He was given the opportunity.
Yep.
And quite obviously, Jonathan Giles was a pretty handy player with the Giants, and he kicked some goals as well. I don't think he was too bad during the NAB Cup game.
No, he didn't. He certainly played good for
him. He doesn't seem to be on their radar. Not keen to really rush him back into the side or get him into the side.
And there have also been some blokes who have been shifted forward and back and have been happy to do it. David Neitz, Chris Grant. There's also been some blokes who haven't liked it. So maybe give us your best positional changes. Andrew Walker was pushed forward.
Someone who's thrived with a positional change.
Yeah. Stephen Morris, you know, he's just a goal-kicking legend now, Kevin, now that he's been
pushed. Not a goal-kicking legend. 9429 1116, 0433 98 1116, for us in through an SMS.
For me, I think Chris Yaron forward, I still think that could work. I think he could go into a side and kick 35 goals. I loved Andrew Walker forward. I know he's been pushed back, and was he All-Australian or in the All-Australian squad as a defender? But I still think that
squad.
Yeah, I still think that positional change where Brett Ratten pushed him forward, that worked. So maybe give us some of your hits and misses for those positional changes.
Jason Windlick, we're told, off the message bank, played his first VFL game on Saturday. Don't know how he went. If you saw how he went, give us some sort of feedback. But you would think if that was his first game, he's not going to be brought straight back into the side.
No, and we're being told that McKernan's on the rookie list. Stuff that. I mean, surely you can throw someone out of the...
No, I think that's right. He's gone back to the rookie list. But I think, isn't there a certain time... after the season, is it 12 or 13 games after the bye, you can elevate someone from that rookie list?
So maybe they haven't got enough long-term injuries. Maybe there is, as you say, a nominated date. I don't know exactly when that's the bye or when that is.
I reckon it might be after the bye.
So you're telling me they're not bringing McKernan in this week?
Well, I would think under those circumstances, the answer is no. The answer is no. A break. We'll come back. Don't forget, Ralph is also coming up in this hour with his famous three stings. So if you've got a sting for anyone, give us a buzz. And the buzz is always brought to you by Unifor Food Service. Now, if you run a business and you're looking for a solution for your corporate catering needs, then look no further than Unifor Food Service, because Unifor brings you the complete service range of coffee and tea and fresh milk, biscuits, chips and nuts. And don't forget also to ask about their extensive range of beers and wines from their cellar. Whether it's the canteen or the boardroom we're talking about, Unifor Food Service has the solution to you, and it is delivered straight to your door. Give them a buzz on 9371-3555, 9371-3555. Straight to our callers, and Kevin's out on the road. G'day, Kev.
G'day, KB. How are you?
Good. You got some word association for us?
Yeah, sticking with Bill Collins and famous race calls on famous race horses. The other one in the memory bank, and it'd be right up there, you'd remember it, Kingston Town's third Cox Plate.
That's right. Can't
Bill
win.
Bill Collins at the school called it Can't Win.
Can't win. As soon as you think Kingston Town, straight away, I reckon that's a great word association, Kev. Can't win. Cox Plate, can't win.
An amazing one off the SMS about player positions, Leon Davis to the back pocket.
Yes.
He was a revelation there.
It thrived with a positional change. Thanks for that, Kev. Robert is in Bentley with a word association. G'day, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Well, I've got two... Can I mention two people as soon as you think of them?
Yes, of course.
Straight away, something comes to your mind?
Yes.
Yeah, one is Teddy Hopkins.
No doubt. Four goals in the grand final.
Yeah, well, 1970 grand final. Mm-hmm. That's what comes to mind.
Yep.
Yeah, and the other one, KB, you were pretty close. What, Helen D'Amica?
Yes, 1982 grand final.
Oh, Kevin's blushing.
1982 grand
Kevin's
final.
Kevin's like a giggly schoolboy, aren't
we
you?
We don't want to remember Helen because that brings back a lot of bad memories.
No good ones, Kevin?
No good ones coming out of 1982.
Kevin's all of a sudden, gone. The blood has rushed to his face.
Just brought back. I'm starting to shake, actually.
I've looked at the Essendon injury list. So Nick Comer, who's been out for 8 years, he's back in the VFL this weekend. Heath Hocking could return after the bye. Myers, Zaharakis, Fletcher, Long are all short-termers. So they haven't really got someone to put on the long-term injury list. Yes, they've got a couple of their quality players out, but they've only got four or five on the injury list, which probably makes their current malaise even more concerning.
Well, a lot of the players now are saying, and spokespeople for the club are saying, that the WADA decision to actually go to Kaz has caused, fog sort of to descend over the players.
And well, it's easy to be flippant
about
that.
What can reinvigorate the Essendon players if that is the case? Because that's going to be maybe 12 months away, that final decision.
So, well, some people are saying to us maybe by November or something. You're right. I don't know what it is that can reinvigorate it. It's easy to just say, oh, well, it's 6 months away and, look, they're not being doorstop every time they walk in. But, emotions are a funny thing. And when you've been up for so long, down again, up and down. That roller coaster can really hurt you. So I'm sure that it is hurting them. Just how much, we're not quite sure.
Okay, what can reinvigorate the Bombers? Maybe it's Carlisle into the ruck. Leon's in Caulfield. G'day, Leon.
Yeah, g'day, chaps. Look, Essendon supporter, obviously frustrated. You got it right. Windelick had his first game back in the seconds. I saw the second half of the seconds last week. He was playing off half back. And he was, as usual, he's a bit of a general on that ground. When he plays Essendon's a better team, he is like an on-field coach to some of those young guys. He's fantastic, Winders. I'm not sure whether Carlisle is a realistic proposition as a long-term ruckman. And apart from anything else, we do forget, or you guys have forgotten, how limited his pre-seasons have been. I don't know if he's actually done a pre-season, Carl, ever.
Well, he had knee tendonitis through the pre-season. You were talking about it with Greg. So he certainly was held back a lot. It meant that he hasn't been able to do as much time on his goal-kicking. So no doubt he started slowly, but we're 10 rounds in. He's played, I think, all of them. What is he as a ruckman? He's 198 centimetres. So he's not the...
Not 6'6", is he?
No, he's not the beanpot.
6'5".
Leon, could I just ask you a question? Are there any other forward pockets floating around there? They need some small forwards.
Yeah, obviously... well, look, the chap that you mentioned, Nick Comer, look, in his first year, he missed the whole year in its entirety last year. Also, I think, with knee tendonitis. And the year before, he showed a lot of promise as a hard-running small forward who actually, if you looked at the stats for that year, was involved in a lot of our score, had a lot of score involvement, seemed very important and seemed to be the sort of player that we were missing and we still are missing. And I think, you know, look, it's a bit much to pin your hopes on a chap who played 15 games and looked promising 2 years ago. So I wouldn't put that down as it'd be great if you could get a bit of game time this year, but I wouldn't expect that much from him.
Not going to be a game changer, is he?
I don't think he's going to change the way we're playing. Mm. I think that, you know, someone who lives and breathes it, it's hard not to make have a view that this has just all got to them, and they're just not playing the same way.
Well, they've got to find some way, Leon, to reinvigorate themselves if that is the case. And I suppose we should put this to Essendon supporters. Chapman was the sub last week, and a lot of criticism of Cooney. And I know that Terry Wallace is suggesting that, you know, by recruiting, say, Cooney and Chapman, it holds back some of the younger players that may have been able to get some game time. So probably need to ask the Essendon fans, I mean, do they see Cooney and Chapman, you know, seeing out the season as senior players at the Bombers? Or, I mean, this week, I mean, is Chapman under some sort of pressure this week to actually hold his spot in the side? Is Cooney under some sort of pressure this week? Because these guys are over 30 years of age and they've been recruited to the club. And he says, unfortunately, if you recruit these guys that are 30 years of age to your club, well, then you're expected to play those players in the senior side because you don't recruit them to, you know, fill up the reserves. So maybe the Bombers have got quite a big decision to make on a couple of those experienced players that they've actually recruited in Cooney and Chapman.
I'm not critical of the decision to recruit them because they didn't have a lot of draft picks. Those players at their best are quite clearly in their side.
But does it mean they have to play them?
No, it doesn't at all. No, I think if they drop Paul Chapman on the wide open spaces of what do we call it now, domain, I still think Cooney, not even at his best, I still think the Cooney of 2015 is a very valuable player at that side. When you've got such young forwards, you've got to surround them with blokes who deliver the ball well. Now, as it's turned out, it's pretty hard to be a half forward at Essendon right now when all of their stats are ranked from, 12th to 17th. Maybe if they got the ball in a little bit quicker, with a quicker methodology, it might help out some of those players.
Off Twitter, at Hungry for Sport, Word Association, this is a bit of a snapshot for those sending through on Twitter. Collingwood, runners-up. Richmond, ninth. Essendon, Asada.
It's WADA now, Kevin. You've got to move with the times.
North Melbourne, I'm telling you what's coming off Twitter.
Yes.
Relocation.
Shinboner.
Derm. 5 day, 5 night. Team Kale, freak.
I just had one I just wrote down. Mark Williams, the Port Adelaide Premiership coach. Have you got anything for that?
Well, You were wrong.
Yeah. Alan Scott, you
Alan
were
Scott.
Wrong.
While he's choking himself with his tie. So that's a good one. Yes, Mark Williams. That's the first thing you think of, isn't it, with
yes.
Mark?
And Paul Roos.
You were wrong.
On the premiership.
You were wrong.
I was
play that again. That's fantastic. I love listening.
I was going to ask Joey to get that, but I thought our producer, he might take 10 minutes.
You were wrong.
You were wrong.
One of the great comments made on Grand Final Day. I reckon one of the other great ones made on Grand Final Day was, here it is, by Paul Roos.
Took the words out of my mouth.
After 72 years of winning that premiership. I just thought it was great. You know, he's up there as the coach and just saying to the Sydney fans, well, here it is.
Shane Crawford. That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
I don't believe we're doing justice to any of these. Joey, you might have to get that up for us. But
okay, so word association. We'll take a break. We're coming back. We're taking more of your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda with the buzz. And he's got his famous three stings coming up. This is generally when he attacks the weak and those who can't defend.
That's what I'm talking about!
It is what it is. That is fantastic. We love that, don't we, that phrase? It is what it is. But Paul Roos there just discussing what took place on the weekend. And, you know, I suppose most of us, we're not critical of Paul Roos because he's a fantastic coach and we all think he's doing a great job with the Ds. But when he came out and said they were all deaf and no one was listening to him, we found that a bit strange because you would think that everyone at Melbourne would be hanging on every word that Paul Roos says. And if Paul Roos says, go and pick up that player, Adam Oxley, number 43, then someone would pick him up. So I think we just found that a bit strange.
He was at a sponsors launch at the start of the year and he talked about that Essendon win last year. And he said it was one of the greatest wins I've been involved in. And I went up to him afterwards and interviewed him. And I said, mate, you're finally talking about we as a football club. And he goes, well, you know, I'd only arrived the year before and I didn't really have a lot of memories at the Demons. So it was hard. But I reckon he went back to they this week. And that was the only thing. Rather than saying, well, you know what, they didn't pick him up. I should have gone down to the boundary line and eyeballed a bloke. So, yeah, as you say, we all love Roosie and his disarming charm, but just thought he sort of, I don't know, maybe just dropped all responsibility this week. And he's the coach, the buck stops with him.
Okay.
Hey, can I ask you to pick 37, which was what?
Pick 37.
Adam Cooney, or what was handed up for Cooney. There's not a lot of stars so far, and so I still back them in for that two-year contract.
Well, 28, Adam Cooney told off the message bank.
He's 28 years of age, yeah, but obviously pick 37. So they could have got Jack Loney at pick 41, Billy Stretch as a father-son, Mitch McGovern. I think anyone who's a McGovern, you should pick him. Little Caleb Daniel, little Western Bulldogs. He's the new Joey Pignataro, little Caleb Daniel. I think he's only 168 centimetres.
Yes.
Ed Langdon, who's Tom's. So, I mean, you wouldn't say that there are, you know, half a dozen stars they should have got afterwards at pick 37. The proof will be in the pudding.
Okay. Just word association. Richie Benno, he's done it.
He's done it.
He's done it. Just with Shane Warne.
Doesn't know what happened to him.
The ball of the century.
Still doesn't know.
Nick Davis, I see it, but I don't believe it, said Anthony Hudson.
Now, when Nick Davis is mentioned, I think of, remember when he came back from the airport and his partner was there and then he's, I think, let's call it mistress was there as well.
What?
So he was coming back from the...
When was this?
Oh, I don't know, 5 years ago. He was coming back from, I don't know, overseas or interstate. And both of his girls, I don't know what the technical term for either of them were, both of them were there. So that
partners?
Partners. I don't know that they're both officially partners. I think so anyway, he got himself in a little bit of hot water.
Did he?
Yes.
EJ, hit the boundary.
Hit the boundary,
hit
yes.
Hit the boundary line.
Stick it up him. Stick it up him.
Stick it up him as well. Patrick is in Point Cook. G'day, Patrick.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Going great. Thanks for joining us. You want to talk about Matthew Pavlich?
Yeah, greatest multi-positional player of the modern age.
Well, we were talking about it the other day, and it's a great point, Patrick. You know, Blitzaps can play maybe five positions, and someone said to me, Adam Goods and Pavlich, they're the other two. What do you think, Patrick? Just totally versatile?
Well, all-Australian fullback, all-Australian centre-half forward, all-Australian full forward, and goes in the midfield as well. You don't get anyone more versatile.
I don't dispute what you say, but KB stuffed it up when you put him as fullback, Kevin. You assume we're
I stuffed
that.
It up.
Well, how many times did he play pure fullback? He might have played centre-half back, but you, as you did back then...
Is there positions, is there? Since when have you think there's positions in AFL football anymore?
Well,
you just talk about those backs, midfielders, forwards.
There aren't a lot
they
of positions
have, they don't
in
have fullback, centre-half back anymore. No, they just have, you know, you're a couple of talls, pick up a couple of talls.
No, it's not true. Matthew Scarlett, played as that bloke closer to goal. Tom Lonergan now plays as that bloke closer to goal.
Matthew Scarlett didn't play as a true centre fullback.
No, but he played closer than centre half.
Most of his career, he played on probably the third best forward.
My point is, I'd never put him as a centre half back. I'd put him as a bloke on the last line. So either back pocket. He actually was a back pocket at times, a fullback.
So you don't think Matthew Pavlich is one of the most versatile players now?
No doubt he's a versatile player. My point is, he never played as a fullback. And you just threw him in there.
Well, never played down back.
He played down
back, Kevin. As a key defender.
Wash your ears out.
As a key defender.
He played as a centre-half back.
Oh, right. Okay. So centre-half back, and when his opponent dropped back to the goal square, he didn't go back with him.
No, he just said, oh, you swap, and I'll just get the kicks
out here. You're sure he never went back to fullback?
He might have done it once or twice. He would not play enough as the fullback, and you know it, Kevin.
Well, no, that's not true. You've also got to work out who else was playing fullback in that particular year.
Well, Luke McFarlane.
And were they any good? Did they have a good year? Were they any good? You're looking at the creme de la creme, you know.
Yep.
Brent is in Doreen. G'day, Brent. Wants to talk about Lockie Hansen. G'day, Brent.
Gone from whipping boy to one of the first picked every week, Lockie Hansen.
Lockie, he was a high draft pick, wasn't he? And then he got a lot of criticism. He was drafted with Scott Gumbleton.
He was.
Remember
that? Might have been 2 and 3.
Yeah,
or two and three.
And everyone tossed up, you know, who should have been 2 and 3 and all that sort of stuff. Scott, unfortunately, had all those hamstring problems.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a good mark, Lockie Hansen. He's always been a strong mark, Brent.
Yeah, I'd reckon he's probably up there in the top 10 intercept marks in the AFL.
If he plays really well this year, Kevin might get him in anywhere in the 22 positions in the All-Australian. Not even as a defender, Kevin. You might put him in as a small forward. You have total disregard for a bloke actually playing in their position.
Could be a sub. Craig's in Elwood. G'day, Craig.
Hey.
Craig, you want to talk about Richie?
Well, yeah, just it was a call where, well, he said he's done it at last, but when Gadding was walking off, he kept looking back and Richie was going, he still can't believe it. Look at him, he still can't believe it, which was quite good. So.
That is part of that story, isn't it? He still can't believe it.
Yep.
And we saw that the other day with Haddon, with Bishu, is it?
Yeah, Bishu, yes.
Bishu. I tell you what, he bowled fantastically well, that young West Indian. Some of those balls were very much like Shane Warne.
They were fizzing, weren't they?
Fizzing, that's a great word.
Yes.
Fizzing. He's very, very good. Very good.
And the proof was in the pudding. Obviously, we won in, 3 days? I still think it's going to be hard for Fawad Ahmed to play a test match ever in his career if he doesn't play on that deck. Because, well, I mean, our man Lyon is going to play 5 Ashes tests. I think he's going to be the nearly man. I'm just not sure that he will ever get to the line. I just think he's always going to... Oh, he's nearly about to play his first test. And I think it's terrible, but I just can't see him playing a test.
Were you one of the people in the media that were calling for Ray Chamberlain to be fined? Who was that?
I think Gary Lyon.
Oh, Gary Lyon.
I saw the headline. Look, I reckon it's a worry. I don't know whether you fine him, but there's no doubt that this is the third incident that an umpire has just run through someone. And I reckon Ray might have just turned back and said, "I'm sorry, Trent Dumont." We saw that umpire just strutting around as the Hawthorn boys crested the banner, and then Paul Poopolo nearly pulled out of that game, and then he missed a game later on. We saw a third incident. I think it was involving Isaac Smith, where an umpire ran through him and cracked him in the head. Certainly was a Hawthorn player. I just reckon you get fined if you're an AFL player who runs into an umpire.
Only if you're in the wrong. Not if it's accidental, you don't.
You just need a bit more duty of care. And I'd love the AFL, whether it's Wayne Campbell or Hayden Kennedy, to just come out and just reinforce that. Look, we're sorry. You know, Trent Dumont could have been concussed. Mm-hmm. North Melbourne season might have been turned around if a player was subbed, and they might have already used their sub. Mm-hmm. They might have had to lose rotations. I just would have liked a bit more contrition from Big Razor Ray, but apparently people have tried to talk to Razor Ray in the last couple of days, and now Razor's not talking.
Well, that'd be the AFL would have said, you're not talking. Ray may like to talk, but if he's been told keep your mouth shut by the AFL, well, then obviously he's not going to talk. But I just think it doesn't matter whether it's a player or it's an umpire. If there is a collision between a player and an umpire, and it's completely accidental with both players looking different ways and turning into each other, then the player doesn't get fined, and neither should the umpire get fined. But if you're careless or you're intentional or even reckless, even though we don't have that in AFL football anymore, well, then you could get a fine. But if it's purely accidental, I don't think anyone thought that Razor Ray actually lined up Dumont. And he was
running
at the thing. He had his head forward. Dumont was there coming in from the side. So it's a most unfortunate accident.
So what do you say that players only get fined when it's deliberate? I disagree with that. Quite often players are behind the umpire.
What else do they get fined for?
Well, maybe they should show more duty.
The umpire may say, if I'm throwing the ball up or bouncing the ball, he will say, I'm coming out this way.
Yes.
And then if he does come out that way and contact is made.
It's still an accident, though.
No.
I mean, the player never deliberately tries to shirt fight.
No, but they would know that the umpire says, I'm going to throw this ball up and I'm coming out this way. So what the AFL says is, that being the case, don't get in the way of the umpire coming back so that contact could be made. So
but it's still I understand there is a grey area.
It's not an accident because you put yourself in the position where you've been told not to be. So when he backs back and he rams himself into you, you've been the cause of that.
Okay, the same thing.
An accident really is when no one is held responsible.
Same thing with Razor Ray. It wasn't deliberate. But was it an accident? He knew two players were there. I don't know who the West Coast player was, but he should have known as he sprinted in there to get a bit of look at me TV time. He should have known that that was a dangerous position for him. And instead, didn't look back.
What's your thoughts on that? 9-4-2-9-11-16. Do you think Razor Ray should have been fined, or do you think it was just an accident and it's been handled in the appropriate manner? Or if you like the buzz, you want to string up Razor Ray.
On 11-16 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
Ah, yes, the famous three stings from the buzz. Usually, as we say, you tax the weak, and those who can't defend, you can always agree or disagree, then we'll come back with your callers. Buzz?
I had them written down on my hand, Kevin.
Oh, did you?
It just took me a little while to just work out what the hell I'd actually written down.
You had sweaty palms.
I did, yes. But now I've remembered, and they're fantastic.
Are they?
The first one is for Colin Cowdung.
Was that what it was? Colin Cowherd.
Colin Cowherd. And also Stephen A. Smith, who just dared to whack our boy Dellavedova. Now, I know we're all in the game of having strong opinions, but Stephen A. Smith, he just said stuff he doesn't believe. He said, oh, Dellavedova's scared after the first game and it's just going to be a whitewash. Look, he also says that that LeBron is no good. You know, that he got his teammate injured because he didn't hit that shot in the last couple of minutes of game one, even though he was mauled by his opponent. So, yeah, Colin Cowdung and Stephen A. Smith, you are both fools.
Okay, there's a good sting to start with.
Now, the second one is for Tom Bell Chambers.
Tom?
Had a turbulent off-season. He broke up with Miss World or Miss Universe or whatever it might
be.
He did, yes.
Was he going out with Miss Universe?
One of those.
Truly?
Starlets. He was, yes. I think she moved up to Sydney. That's not my point. But anyway, he did.
Well, that's disappointing.
It is.
Maybe that's having an effect on his career.
It could well be.
If you have a relationship breakdown, that's not to be scoffed at.
No, I agree. So my point is, he's had a turbulent off-season. He had a bit of a crack in a bone behind his knee. But he had 4 or 5 weeks post that injury to really establish himself as Essendon's best ruckman. When he went down the start of last year, I thought he was their most important player. Almost certainly he will be dropped this week. So I just think he had a huge opportunity, which he has squandered.
Okay, there's a sting.
And my third one is for the Fremantle Football Club. Now, they're just wavering a little bit, Kevin. Now, I know they're 9-1.
Wow.
I know it was the loss they had to have.
On the skids?
Well, Pav got touched up by maybe the competition's best
got
fullback.
Got destroyed by Rance.
He did. So, I don't know about him. Sandilands is going well. But now that Michael Johnson is out for 10 weeks. They would have hoped to have given McFarlane a few rests through the year. So he'll have to keep
playing.
They
wanted Jack Dawson to come back, but he got injured in the
waffle. He's got a broken thumb, yes. So he's, I don't know, what are you out for a broken thumb? A month, maybe?
I suppose.
So, you reckon they're just a Monty for the flag? You've already given...
No, I don't believe that at all. I think it's a Richmond Hawthorn grand final. That's what it looks like to me.
A lot of people have already given Rossi his first premiership cup, and I didn't think they could win the flag. And
any explanation why Fremantle's tactics last week were to not go within 25 metres of any Richmond player?
It's a very good point.
What were the tactics by Ross Lyon? That what we do is we'll stand 25 metres off every Richmond player, and Dusty, you can kick it to Deledio. Deledio, you can kick it to Jack. And Jack, you can kick a goal. Let's start again. Cochin, kick it to Martin.
Yes.
Kick it to Brandon Ellis.
Yes.
Kick it to Deledio. You kick a goal.
Well, he told us in the pre-match on Fox 40, he said, he talked about the blast, this 10 or 12 minutes of intense football. And we know that they're going to try and retain the ball. And we know that Hawley will try and get it. I don't think anyone really went through Hawley. They allowed them that hit-up disposal. None of that swarm or pressure was there. I mean, again, maybe they just, you know, they were just tired after
They've
9 weeks.
They've lost the plot, Freo. Completely lost the plot.
Maybe they have. And Tyrone Vickery, who I wrote about, he came out and dominated.
Tyrone dominated.
I think Tyrone might stay at Richmond long term.
And Griffiths dominated as well.
Yes.
Okay, there's the three stings. One for Freo, one for Colin Cowdung, and the other for Tom Bell Chambers. Did Ralphie miss anyone? Dan, sorry?
I'd like to sting you for making Pavlich as a fullback. As John from Ferguson says, in the year Pavlich was named All-Australian fullback, he hardly crossed the defensive centre side of centre. So anyone who actually played as a regular defender should have got the nod ahead of him.
Rubbish.
I think he did play defence, but he never played fullback.
No, that's rubbish.
And one last one before we go to Dan. It was Luke Bruce who was run into by an umpire. And Hayden Kennedy said, oh, well, you know, the umpire was looking in a different direction. If you're going to be on the field as an umpire, you've got to have situational awareness. And the umpire's having this year.
I think the umpire's got right away. Dan is in Seaford. G'day, Dan.
Morning, lads. How are you?
Good, thanks,
Dan. I've got a couple of positional changes and a couple of bits of word association.
Yes.
With, I mean, Jezalenko.
You beauty.
You beauty. And keep on punching with Scotty Palmer.
Scotty, yes.
Keep on punching.
Scotty Palmer.
What was that? Every Saturday night for the Sunday press, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Scotty had come on. And give all the latest.
He
and
did.
Keep on punching.
I never got any work done at the Sunday Herald, son, because you'd be going along to the photocopier and Scotty'd say, oh, just come on in, son. And half an hour later, he'd be regaling you with antics from, you know, EJ Witten and the Olympics and Muhammad Ali. He was a superstar.
We'll wrap up the show after the break and we'll take Nick's call to finish off the show today. Don't forget, Daniel Harford is on his way. He's got an absolute cracking show. Of course, The Buzz has joined us, all thanks to Unifor Food Services. And don't forget, for you run a business and you're looking for that solution for your corporate catering needs, all you have to do is go to Unifor Food Services. They've got their extensive range, of course, of coffee, tea, and fresh milk and biscuits, chips and nuts, and also from their beer range and wines from their cellar. Don't forget, whether it's the canteen or the boardroom, Unifor Food Service has the solution for you, and it's delivered straight to your door. Call them on 93713555. Now, Nick is in Dandenong with Word Association. G'day, Nick.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I've got a quick word association and name association.
Yes.
John Burke, I think you've got to take the boy off.
Take the boy off.
and the other one is a name association to do with Stephen Bradbury. People know exactly what you're talking about.
Falling over. Good luck.
Winning the gold medal. Yeah. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Everyone falling over?
Yes. Yep.
And my word association for the day, Sean McKernan. Rookie, apparently. I can't believe he's a rookie. He might have changed their season. Bring him in versus West Coast. But he's a bloody rookie.
Others are saying word association, Terry Wallace.
I'll spew up.
That's it. That's it. That's what's coming off the message bank.
As usual, we have just solved the world's problems, Kevin. We've, you know, solved world hunger, but geez, we've had a bit of fun.
Had a bit of fun. Thank you, Buzz.
Cheers.
Don't forget to catch the Buzz next week on the program, next Wednesday and Thursday. The Buzz will be there, but we'll catch you on Saturday.
Oh, no
doubt.
Because
we've got the big game on Saturday, of course, going interstate up at Metricon there, so we'll have a chat then. Don't forget, Daniel's on his way. Have a great day in sport, and I'll catch you tomorrow.